At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Check it out now.
Thursday morning, October 28th, the Beating the Book podcast, week number 8. Wow, can't believe it's week 8, National Football League, live from the DR home, at least for me and Mikey anyway. Gil Alexander, it is the Beating the Book Megapod. To my left, the staples of the show, first of all to my left, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens Consigliere here at Circus Sports, Vice President of Operations, co-host of Odds On, that he does with Amal Shaw. You think we can get Amal on the show a little later this year?
We'll ask him.
We'll see what he says.
We'll ask him.
Okay. Thank you for being here, as always. I know you had your booster shot, so you're not feeling very well.
You know, I'm a little bit, not sick, but pain from the shot in the arm and that side, and then chills. I've been taking some ibuprofen, you know, I get Moderna. I had the first two shots were Moderna, and they said Moderna is the strongest and longest lasting of the vaccine, and how you call it a vaccine.
Is your booster Moderna too?
Moderna too. The guy that gave me the shot actually said if people had the Johnson & Johnson one shot, he was advising them to get the Moderna booster.
Oh, wow.
So
J&J kind of messed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd Wishnet from his mom's Cork Addict. His mom's Cork Addict, star of the Showtime docuseries Action from a few years back. How you doing, Toddy? You good?
I'm doing great. You know, I went to a DraftKings dinner last night and met some people that were fans of yours. So, you know, obviously they had some poor judgment, but they do like you. And, you know,
thank you. Thank you.
No, just kidding. They really like you. They said Mikey is, you know, mediocre.
Wow.
Well, how are you going to compare someone with no media training to somebody that's been 35 years doing radio?
I'm kidding, Mikey. You're fantastic.
35 years.
You were my favorite radio personality from the state of Iowa.
I'm being serious because I don't know Eric. So, I mean, we can't joke around like we normally do till we get the cadence of the show.
First time on the podcast. I should mention that to Eric, that the best line ever.
Shots.
Aaron shot about 5-6 minutes into the podcast. By the way, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, data scientist, research and data scientist, Dr. Eric Eager, by the way, kind enough to join us on the show. Eric, great to have you. I appreciate it. I just want you to know Aaron shot's like 6 minutes into this podcast. He's been on my numbers game. He's been on my other stuff. But when he was on the podcast, he goes, it's going to take me a second to get used to the rhythm of this show.
Cadence. He said cadence.
Oh, I thought he said rhythm.
No, he did say the word cadence of the show.
Eric, thanks for doing it, man. I appreciate it.
As somebody who knows Aaron personally, I am not surprised at all. That is a classic line for him. He and I were on panels together where, you know, he was very much the disheveled scientist and sort of, let's just say he dictated cadence.
Yeah, I will tell you this, and Aaron is, I'm on Aaron's side on this. So we used to go to MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference for years. I don't know if you ever went, Eric. But Aaron used to be on panels. Like when they started football, pro football panels, Aaron was up there. Now they like don't even ask him to be on sometimes. Like it
really
bothers. I don't know if it was this year or the last year. I haven't been the last 2 years.
It's because he said the Patriots defense last year was one of the top defenses in the history of the National Football League.
Is that what it was?
And we all gasped. Remember that?
I tell you, there's one thing that Aaron said last year that I remember really well, and it's aged very well, which is I had the audacity to say, the Chiefs, they sort of seem to play up and down to their competition this year. And Aaron goes, maybe, he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, maybe they're just not as good as we think they are. That has aged pretty well, I will say that. So that's the one shots remark he made last year that I remember quite well.
Todd, Harry Reasoner is from Iowa. You like me better than Harry Reasoner?
It's a close. It's very tight. It's very tight.
I wouldn't want to live on the difference.
Wasn't
it's
Harry?
It's only because he was on a weekly Sunday, a 60-minute show, whereas you're on a daily, so I had to give you the nod.
Wasn't Harry Reasoner the guy that Barbara Walters complained was so sexist towards her when she was coming
up?
He had
a lot of complaints later on after he retired in that about.
He wouldn't have worked in this
era. No, not at all.
Not at all.
Morley would have been okay, not Harry.
Morley. Well, I didn't think we'd go down the 60 minutes road. By the way, you know who's going to be on the Megapod 2 weeks from now? Brent Musburger making his return.
Oh, wow. Mike has to get ready.
I got it. This is exciting. This is exciting. We'll look back on Amy Coney Barrett's tenure.
Yeah.
Brent, remember back in 1976, Brent, when we had the famous pregame show in the history of football in the NFL today. Remember that time? You were so entertaining, Brent. And remember that time with Irv? Tell me about that time. By the way, before you answer, you're such a great guy. You're amazing.
Mikey and Brent went on their own little fucking tangent. Excuse me. Pardon me. We're happy to have Brent back in a couple weeks. I'm sure he's thrilled. He's going to be in here, I think, with us. That's the word.
I think so.
And he went politics right from the beginning, which was funny. All right. Let us begin before we get into best bets and teasers and Survivor and all that stuff. Mikey, you have a great story here. So Circa Millions, how many people – Circa Survivor, how many people didn't submit?
Survivor, only two.
Only two.
It was the best week of the year.
And only the Ravens really got people.
Yeah.
Again, fewer than 100 people lose in Survivor. But there was a dude in Millions. Can you tell this story?
I can tell it. I mean, the guy was one of the five-way split, 18-2 the first quarter. He was in second place at 25-5. And he didn't submit his picks this week.
Oh, my God. Wow. How do you not – how does that happen?
Does anybody know why?
He said he forgot. He texted Jeff Benson and said, you know,
at what
is
time?
There anything you can do? Sometime before 4 in that hour, I just...
3 o'clock is the deadline.
I blew it. No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
The answer in the system, no. You can't even go in and put... It's impossible. But you know that we got flooded with emails and calls after 4 when, you know, we post the website, all the people saying, what's the mistake? What's his picks? They wanted to know. They said, it's not listed his picks. We need to know his picks.
Yeah, sure.
He didn't turn any in. People were flabbergasted.
Oh, my God. I wonder if a guy like that now secretly hopes he just sucks the rest of the way.
You know, people have their feeling about the proxies and that. But Derek has said all along, even if you're a local, pay the $300. You're going to get the text from the proxy right at 10 a.m. or whatever time they submit and say, hey, what are your picks if you do forget?
You get a lot of reminders from the proxy.
That's crazy. I mean, that's also crazy, like, you to be doing so well that other people are in week 8 already rooting against you.
Or just curious what you pick. Like you're
curious what you're taking.
Yeah.
To see if they're on the right side or not. Yeah.
All right.
Really, before we get started, do you want to take some congratulations for actually a winning week last week?
Can we talk about Survivor? I want to ask this question to you guys.
He couldn't wait to unleash that line. He's waiting all week.
It's okay. But I thought that there was something very interesting this week and that over 500 people took the Cardinals. I was shocked by that.
I was shocked by that, too, because they are a Christmas consideration.
Even if you argue maybe the Titans now look like the play over the 49ers on that Thursday before, don't you still need, like, two viable teams on Thanksgiving and Christmas from a quarterback injury, whatever?
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do. But, the 600 people did not care
Which
about that.
Tells me it's, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it thinking for a lot of people.
There are still many more people still alive in Circa Survivor than started Circa Survivor last year.
Yeah, 21-31. We had 13-90 last year.
Wow. All right. Todd, before we get to the picks, go ahead. What was our records last week?
Gilly Ice deserves a round of applause, an absolute round of applause for Gilly Ice. He had the Patriots -7. I believe they won by 500 points.
I believe so.
The Texans almost got there for him, although they did get there. I had a 10-point teaser with the Texans plus 28, and I got there. But the plus 17 didn't. Bengals plus 6 was a fantastic pick. So he goes 2-1 to move to a robust 7-14
on the
year.
Arizona up to 28. What kind of sicko are you?
I did know. 10-point teaser. They have these three-team 10-point teasers. So I took a all-crap team teaser, and it got there. It was plus 28, plus 26 on the Lions, and plus 14.5 on Seattle. And it was pretty easy. The only one that was even in doubt at all was Arizona, and it wasn't even really in doubt.
Why do you think DraftKings keeps inviting him to stuff?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, keep calling me dumb.
Those 10 points are worth like less than what are you doing?
I disagree because at the end of the game, the teams that are up big don't want to blow out. I don't mind if people call that dumb.
New England seemed pretty content blowing the shit out of the Jets.
Right, that's Belichick against the Jets, and he hates the Jets. It's a different thing when you get these teams like, you know, Arizona doesn't want to show anything when they're up huge. They're just going to, you know, coast in. Anyways, you can call me dumb. Everybody can just laugh.
I'm not calling you dumb. I'm just want to know the thought process. But that's a reasonable thought process.
I know a lot of people think it's stupid, but he never said that.
Why do you keep saying it? He said dumb and stupid. Jeez.
I'm being defensive, both of you, okay? It's not about Eric. I'm being defensive.
Eric, you called me an asshole, and I don't appreciate it. No, he didn't.
I called myself an asshole. The point is...
I'm trying to change the cadence of the show.
That's right. He's already been warned in advance.
The point is, sometimes these 10-point teasers, I'm literally like 11-2 on 10-point teasers. Mikey could tell you.
Yep.
Like 2 years ago, I was giving them out, and I've been doing them again this year, and they're fantastic. So I'll keep laughing all the way to the bank.
All right, but Todd, you have famously said it's all math in the end, right? And here's Eric, who is nothing, you know, who if anything loves math himself, right? And can give you the value of those points. So you should appreciate that response, I think.
Oh, I think mathematically he's probably correct, but I think there's also a psychological component. I've seen too many NFL games where a team is a huge dog and they barely get – whenever the teams cover those huge lines, they barely do it. They don't usually wipe the team out. In my experience over a long period of time, whenever there's some wacko college-looking spread in the NFL, the teams, if they do cover it, they barely cover it. Okay. And I think it's because the better team late in the game doesn't care to win by more.
I'm glad you won, man.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, Gilly did win the teaser. We all won the teaser. Gilly moves to 5-1-1 on the teaser. Mikey's 5-2 on the teaser, and I am in first place with 6-1 on
the
teaser.
I'm the man to beat on the teasers.
As on the spreads, well, actually, you're not, but okay, good try. Mikey was 1-2 last week with his Bears plus 12.5. Almost got there. Very close game there, Mikey. You were right in it all the way. I believe they lost 500-3. Bengals, Ravens under, not a chance, and he did win with the Browns. So
I want to say one thing because I never have ever challenged Mike on anything. That Bears pick was your most peculiar pick ever.
Yeah, it was bad. I should have been on no hyperbole myself for my pick. And even Carl's laughed at it on Friday. I can't believe Mike Palmer.
Yeah.
I misread the game.
It was such a bad matchup.
I misread the game.
Yeah, okay, and I went.
But Todd's right. Tampa Bay didn't even want to play in the second half. Yeah. They shut it totally down.
That's true.
Oh, absolutely. I went 1-2 to move to 10-11. Hit my Arizona under, lost the Miami under, and the Kansas City-Tennessee game. I think that will go down as the strangest game in NFL history, that the Kansas City Chiefs only scored 3 points against the Tennessee Titans defense. Please put that in the mathematical database and tell me what percentage of time that will happen for the rest of history, Dr. Eric.
I will say, as somebody who, and I'm a Kansas City fan, I had Tennessee and I had under in that game. And I had under because I thought that it would be, would slow down, but for different reasons. I thought the Chiefs would try to slow the game down a little bit to protect their defense. And I think the craziest stat of the season so far that literally no one knows is that the Chiefs for the second straight game allowed 0 second half points. And obviously it was a pretty weird way to do it last week. But
them scoring three. Talk about them scoring three against Tennessee.
Actually, here's some inside football. And actually, I have, you know, as a part of my job, I do have interactions with these teams. We client out to all 32. And one of the members of the team that I'm really close with was like, hey, can you check out our RPO game? And I don't know if anybody knows, like, RPOs are basically like run plays where you can pull the ball out of the stomach of the running back and throw the ball to a wide receiver. And on those plays, linemen aren't allowed to block upfield because if you do pull the ball out, you throw the ball, you'll get an illegal man downfield penalty. And so the Chiefs have run the second highest rate of RPOs in the NFL, second to Arizona. And they're bad at them. And most of the NFL is really good at them. And so the thing is, when the Chiefs kind of half-ass the run game and the pass game trying to be deceptive, they're bad at both. And interestingly, it's just because these linebackers are like, when they see Mahomes put the ball in the stomach of the running back, the linebackers are saying, like, come and get us. You know, Daryl Williams is not about to get, you know, we're not going to get killed by Daryl Williams. We'll get killed by Mahomes instead. And it's hurt the Chiefs offense. And if you've watched them, the Washington game, they scored 31 points, but they were something like 7 of 7 or 8 of 8 on third downs in the second half of that game. The fact that they're getting to that many third downs is problematic for their offense. And so, you know, the Tennessee game was pretty simple. It was Tennessee took a long time to score. The Chiefs went 3 and out or 5 and out or whatever it was. Tennessee took a long time and scored. Chiefs went 5 and out. And then Tennessee went and scored, and the Chiefs turned the ball over. Like, it's not like they had a lot of offensive plays in the first half and were bad on all of them. They, like, literally had, like, 13 plays in the first half. And, you know, that's how you beat the Chiefs.
They also got desperate. You can feel that desperation in Mahomes. Yeah. When he starts to get down big, it feels like, you know, they're just forcing it. You know what I mean? They're not taking what's there.
He looks like bad Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers is really struggling, you know, he's not – he hits his back foot, and the first thing he wants to do is scramble and make a big play when, you know, that offense should be gaining 7, 8 yards at a time, and instead he's trying to score 14 points on every play, and it's hurting them a little bit.
Who goes into desperation mode worse when they're behind, the Chiefs or the Ravens?
Oh, yeah.
Ravens do it way better, don't they?
The Ravens came back against Indy.
And Kansas City. And they stuck to their run game in both games. Like, they actually, like, do the – I think they come from behind a lot better, just because it's weird. This season, at least, they've stuck with their base offense, even with behind by multiple scores against Kansas City, against Indy, even against Detroit, although they got lucked out with a field goal. Like, I think it's them.
Two things. One, Jason and those guys back there in the back, we've lost – Mikey and I have lost our video feed of Todd and Eric. If we could get that back on the screen, we'd appreciate it. The other thing is, isn't it true also, Eric, that teams are blitzing Mahomes at a far lesser rate this year? And so, like, they've figured out that he's really – as a young player, he was, like, super good against the blitz. Let's just stop with that.
Even teams that are traditional blitz teams like – the Ravens, like, if you look at them, they blitz. They're in, like, the top five in blitz rates in the league, and against Kansas City, they blitz, like, 0 times, 1 time maybe. That was starting to happen at the end of last year, but you're right. I mean, all these defenses are engineered to beat the Chiefs now. They're engineered to play 2 high, 6 in the box, you know, beg a team to run the football, but at worst, beg them to throw it 15 times on the way to the end zone. It's a good numerical play. Like, it's hard to throw the ball 15 times in a row without making a mistake. So I think it's good. On the flip side, that's why you've seen teams like Tennessee and Baltimore beat these teams, because a team that's engineered to beat the Chiefs by exclusion is not engineered to beat Derrick Henry. And so, like, that's why you see maybe a team like Tennessee have success against a team like Buffalo, because, you know, Buffalo will stack the box, but they don't have box stacking players. They're engineered to play nickel and dime and stop Kansas City's offense.
Last thing before we get to the best bets, because I know people want to hear the picks, but you said that the most interesting stat was that the Chiefs held their opponents to 0 points in consecutive second halves. I will disagree with you. I will say that the most interesting stat of the entire week came from you, Eric, which I got sort of secondhand on our show, which was – it was such an unbelievable stat, Eric, that I questioned it openly. I'm like, that can't be true, and I looked it up. It was your stat about Kyle Shanahan, you know where I'm going with this, having a worse winning percentage as the head coach of the Niners than Mike Singletary had as the head coach of the Niners. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable, because we think of Singletary one way and Shanahan completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Singletary was 2-0 in 09 and had Brett Favre and the Vikings on the ropes, and they needed that miracle catch by Greg Lewis. Like, they had some success with Shanahan in San Francisco. It just went all to hell because of, you know, him in many ways. And obviously Harbaugh did great things with that talent after that. But yeah, I mean, the thing with Shanahan, and I got a lot of flack for this in the offseason because I do this as part of my betting analysis. I build a model for play callers, and I have two models, and one of them's uniqueness of scheme, and the other one is how well you do with the talent you have. And Shanahan, if you actually look at the numbers, has not overperformed the talent that they have on the field. And I think in a lot of ways, you look at that and you say, well, he doesn't actually pick the talent well. Like, they have Brandon Ayuk in a first-round draft pick who looked like Devontae Adams at times last year. He's completely disappeared. They trade completely up for Trey Sermon, and they prefer Elijah Mitchell over him. They spent all this money on Tevin Coleman, and Raheem Mostert, who's an undrafted, like, seven-time cut guy, is the guy they end up with. Like, I think Shanahan's interesting because he gets this premium. He was third in Pinnacle's betting odds, or they were third, to win the Super Bowl after Kansas City and Tampa for months on Pinnacle's betting odds to win the Super Bowl. Like, I think it sounds bad, but I think he's one of the more overrated entities in all of football.
Wow.
He was terrible in the second half of the Super Bowl. Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous in the second.
Twice.
Right, the Atlanta Falcons, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll always have 2012 with Kyle Shanahan and a great RG3, though. We'll always have that.
I'm interested to ask, Eric, though, you rank Matt LaFleur as the number one offensive play caller.
Yes. Here's my thing with Matt LaFleur. Like, the Mike McCarthy offense with Rodgers, I mean, Mike McCarthy had us all wondering whether or not Aaron Rodgers was washed, right? And, you know, there were article after article. My friend Ben Baldwin, I really respect, writes for The Athletic and Football Outsiders. Like, he made a very compelling case that Aaron Rodgers was not an effective quarterback anymore. You add to that the fact that the general manager for the Green Bay Packers does not want to acquire a secondary receiver, right? If you look at the target shares in Green Bay, I got to pull this up here. But Devontae Adams literally gets the majority of the targets there.
It's like 36 or 37% or something, yeah.
Exactly. So you have 72 of the 210 targets. And yet they're in the Matt LaFleur era, they're undefeated when Devontae Adams is injured.
I went through that today.
Battle that stuff up, and it's a fairly compelling case that he gets the most out of that talent, as any coach in football.
But as a head coach, I think you had him like fourth or fifth or something.
Yeah, a part of that was just because longevity. Like, I think, and there was also, I think he's like quote woke on fourth down. Like, but he did have that mistake against Tampa Bay in the playoffs, where he kicked the field goal down eight. There have been some blunders there. There was also the fact that, and I sort of put this in my ranking, like he took too long to fire Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine was clearly a negative EV play for them, defensive coordinator spot. You could say the same thing about other guys that I've had, like Andy Reid stuck with Bob Sutton too long, probably cost him a Super Bowl, and stuff like that. But like, you know, for me, it was also just giving sort of like, I think Matt LaFleur as an offensive tactician has been a little bit more impressive than him as a head coach.
Wow, I'm just impressed Mikey did.
I have to do the research. Well, why wouldn't I? I don't know him. I read some articles.
Is that why you ask me every week who the guest is?
Yeah, in case I don't know them.
I love that.
This is why I lead the interviews on Odds On, not them all, okay?
That's great.
This guy's the top radio personality in all of Iowa.
All right. By the way, we still get to see your faces. Mike and I are operating naked here.
They got the best of the deal.
Eric, we start with you. One of your three.
Wait, first Thursday night discussion.
Oh, Thursday night discussion.
Oh, wait, okay. Todd, what are the overall records? Did you gain a gain on me? Are you a half game back or something?
I'm 10-11. You're 11-9-1, so you're two ahead in the loss
game
column.
And okay.
And Gilly is right there behind us at 7-14.
Still the guy to beat on the teasers, by the way. Okay, so yes, you're right, Todd. We should talk about Thursday Night Football. This could be one of our best bets.
Hey, you're back. By the way, on this game.
Is it one of your best bets?
Yes.
Okay. So it is the Cardinals and the Packers tonight. Cardinals favored by 6.5 now. Now that we know that both Alan Lazard and, more importantly, Devontae Adams, I think it's 100% that he's not playing at this point. Someone said it was like 99%, but it looks like he's not playing.
He's not playing.
He didn't make the trip. As Eric said, the Packers are 6-0 since the beginning of 2019 without Devontae Adams, which everybody threw around mainstream media. But if you dive a little deeper on those six games, they beat the 8-8 Cowboys week 5 of 2019. They beat the 3-12-1 Lions week 6 of 2019. That was the game that everybody started noticing Alan Lazard. Green Bay had to benefit from some hands-in-the-face penalties late in that game to come back and rally back to beat the eventual 3-12-1 Lions. Week 7 of 2019, they beat the eventual 7-9 Raiders. Week 8 of 2019, they did beat a 12-4 Chiefs team, but guess who wasn't playing? Patrick Mahomes.
Matt Moore was in.
And then the two games last year without Devontae, again, they won all of them. They were 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the spread. The week 3 game against the Saints, because the Saints finished 12-4, well, they didn't have Michael Thomas either, the Saints, in that game. And it was a Za'Darius Smith forced fumble of Taysom Hill, who was in as quarterback in that game that was the eventual game winner. That was another Alan Lazard game, by the way. Guess who else isn't playing? Alan Lazard. And then finally, week 4 of last year, they beat the Falcons. The Falcons ended up 4-12. And guess what? Julio Jones exited that game in the second quarter. That was the Tunyon game, the Robert Tunyon game, if you remember. So, yeah, they were 6-0, but it's not without its warts, I guess, is what I'm saying. Eric, do you have an opinion on tonight's game, either side or total?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I actually think the number is probably right. There was a great discussion. I know you've had Andy or Drew from the Whale Capper podcast on your shows before, Gil. The number of points is not necessarily, you know, it's not uniform, right? Moving from 3.5 to 6 and then 6.5, it has a lot to do with, like, the lack of a value in the NFL 4 and 5. As well as what I would call cluster injuries. And I have an article on PFF.com where I talk about how a team does is actually far more correlated with how the secondary and tertiary receivers of a team do. And so a lot of times, if you lose two receivers, it's worth more than two times losing both of them individually. So I think that that's a big issue here. Wide receiver is very much a weak link system. And so that's where I get a little bit worried. But my opinion on this game is, I think when you look at the team total here, it depends upon where you look. Like, Arizona 30 minus 120 is where I'm looking a little bit offshore, if you can find a better number. I think Arizona goes over this. I also like the over in the general game. But I think when you think about Arizona, they've had three statement games this year as underdogs. At home against Tennessee, or sorry, on week one against Tennessee, at Cleveland, and then they had the other one against L.A., they've made these statement games as dogs, and no one treats them as a 7-0 team. Like, I do think that there's going to be some sort of, like, we really need to prove it to the league tonight. And so I do think they put up 30 against what I've characterized as a soft, gooey Green Bay Packers defense.
And Arizona, I believe.
And that leads right into my pick of the week, if you want to hear my
pick
of the week.
Please, let's go.
One of my three picks is going to be the over 50.5 in this ball game. And the reason I like it is, first of all, okay, on the bad side for all, we've got all these injuries with Green Bay. We still have Aaron Rodgers, though. Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback. And all I need for him to get me is, say, 21 points if Arizona is going to put up numbers. Green Bay's defense really that great? They gave up 38 to New Orleans in week one. And then they have nice numbers against crappy teams. Detroit scored 17. Pittsburgh got 17. Chicago got 14. Washington Redskins, no offense to my good friend Gilly Ice, got 10. But that's because they stink and they figured out Heineke. So when they played against good offensive teams, look, Cincinnati got 22 and could have had 28 if they wouldn't have missed 1,000 field goals as well. So I think there's no reason why Arizona can't get 31 in this game. And then all you need is Rodgers to get you 21. Even without receivers, he can get you 21. Rodgers will find a way to smoke and mirrors you up to get the 21. So give me over 50.5 in this game. I think it's too low. And also the fact that it's come down, I believe it opened somewhere in like the 53 range. I just think it's 53.5 even. I think it's too much of a reaction. I still have Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, if it is a situation where I get Aaron Rodgers as the backdoor quarterback, you know, down 14 points late or something, heck, I'll take that all day long. Give me the over 50.5.
You also failed to mention, Todd, that that Washington, 3 points total with 4 red zone possessions and 5 possessions inside the 30 last week.
Yeah, they should have covered that game
easily.
0 punts. The Redskins should have covered easily.
And that included the Taylor Heineke third down dive forward stop progress when he could have just waltzed in. Not waltz, but could have gotten
Lambeau
easily.
Leaped. And then he Lambeau leaped.
He Lambeau leaped because he loved the Packers growing up. And then he fumbles on 4th, regathers, and they said it was stopped at the regather, too. Don't get me started. Okay, so that's your number one? That's your number one bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Gilly talking about the Washington football team. He's just like, he's so disappointed. He's just don't get me started.
Years of sorrow. Oh, they were such a gem as a kid. All right, Eric, your first bet that you love. Or do you have any Thursday night thoughts? I'm sorry.
I want to take the Packers here with 6.5, but I can't because they have
one of your picks, Mike?
No, they'll pick. They have no pass rush. They could never get to Taylor Heineke last week.
No.
You're going to sit there and let the little Roadrunner now sit back there without any pressure? I'm concerned.
You go Roadrunner?
I'm concerned. Well, that's, instead of Mayor of Munchkinville that your friend Michael Lombardi calls him.
Doesn't this game remind you of the game Green Bay played last year where they went on the road against San Francisco and, like, basically all of San Francisco's players were out? And that spread was something like 6, and it was because the market, you guys could say this better than me, but, like, the books don't like opening themselves up to that big of a middle, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, you have, you know, in that game, I believe San Francisco was 6.5-point dogs by the time it all was said and done, even though they had no players. And Green Bay kind of, like, you know, mopped the floor with them. Like, I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen because of the point you made, Todd, which is that Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. But I do wonder if people are going to take Green Bay, do they see the tail risk here where, like, having no players really hurts you? Aaron Jones helps, but yeah, it's tough to take Packers here.
By the way, can I just say one thing about what he just said about middles?
Please.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. If you watch people who don't bet in-game, you should start paying attention to in-game because the Indianapolis-San Francisco game, for the entire first half of the game, there were books that were playing 47.5 while the other one was 50, and then it would go 53.5 to 56, and then it would go 51 to 53.5. So I don't know who's right, who's wrong, but the bottom line is, would you say?
Someone's wrong.
Would you say? Yeah, so the bottom line is you don't ever see middles in before, you know, you can't go to a Vegas sports book before the game and get 3.5 and then go down to Circa and get 6. It doesn't exist, right? You have to predict where the market's going to go. You
can get this part of that is the longer the game goes in, the more the higher the probability on some of those numbers. Like a lot of middles, like early career sports bettors will bet middles not knowing that the points are not worth the vig. But the later you go into some of these games, especially if you're still getting, and oftentimes you're not getting this, but like if you're still getting -110 on both sides, oftentimes like the later on the game goes, the higher the probability of landing on certain key numbers.
Of course,
right?
Yes. Of course.
So,
As you get
so right. Middles are actually more again, most books have these, but there are soft offshore books. There are soft books. You know, the further along you get in the game, the higher the probability is that you land on a number in the middle of those two.
Of course. Well, of course, because you're getting closer to the end and you have less of a game to go.
But my point is,
if you don't like in-game, right, you should start liking it, because if you get opportunities like this, I'm not even saying you should go for middles. I'm just saying have an opinion on the game. If you like 47, if you like over, take 47 and a half. If you like under, take under 50. The point is, where else do you see giving away 2.5 points in NFL ever?
Yeah, but
Gil, ever?
The short runway point is such a great one, though. Our buddy E loves to take advantage of short runways in multiple sports.
I think he does it so very well in the NBA and baseball, especially.
Yeah.
Because what he does is bet the under and then try to get through the bottom of the lineups. That's the play with quality pitchers.
And by the way, that's more sophisticated. But even for the people who aren't as sophisticated with getting middles, I'm just saying, if you're going to pick a side, you're still getting an incredible advantage here. You know what I mean?
All right, we gotta, because Mikey has a show to do, so we gotta get to the best bets that we gotta get through. So, by the way, we should mention J.J. Watt is out tonight. He's probably out for the rest of the season. Season-ending shoulder surgery. They just flashed up a stat here. He has missed 32 of the last 87 games since the year 2015. J.J. Watt has, and the Packers stat that everybody flashes up: 25-0. The Packers are under Matt LaFleur in the regular season when they win a turnover margin, 25-0.
Or when they don't play in California or Florida. I think that's a similar stat.
All right, Eric, your first best bet is?
Yeah, this is my boss's game, Chris's game. I'm going to go with Dallas laying, anything up to 2.5 against Minnesota. I tweeted this out yesterday. Minnesota, if you look at the bottom five quarterbacks in the NFL and average depth of target in the first three quarters of a game on early downs, it's Jared Goff, it's Kirk Cousins, it's Jacoby Brissett, Big Ben Roethlisberger, and Andy Dalton. That's one good quarterback and four guys who should be backups. And people wonder why Minnesota plays so many close games and why they get snake bitten by, you know, field goals and all this kind of stuff. It's that they don't trust Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Kirk has turned into John Elway at the end of games this year. And, like, I think he deserves a great deal of credit. But in the first part of games, they cut him off. And against teams like Carolina, against teams like Detroit, that'll work. Against a team like Dallas, when the Vikings don't have Michael Pierce, when the Vikings don't have Patrick Peterson in the lineup, I think Dallas could lap the Vikings by the time they figure out they're even in the game.
Okay, Mikey, you're number two.
I'm going to take the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
Chargers. What is it, five, Todd?
Yeah, Los Angeles Chargers I have as 5.5. We'll give you the 5.
Look, embarrassed last year by the Patriots in SoFi. It was like 1 million to nothing, 45-0 or whatever. And that Anthony Lynn fiasco as well. I know Rufus says Anthony Lynn very underrated, and there's no value in having Staley as the coach.
One of the most interesting comments on the podcast this year. Yes.
Look, here's the other thing. And the Chargers off a bye. Here's the other thing, though. I love this move to get rid of Viscaino, finally, the kicker, and go to Hopkins. I think that's a huge upgrade for them at the kicking position, because also they will have confidence in him. When these coaches lose a confidence, just like Washington did, Hopkins gets the new guy and he gets the kick blocked. Now, next time, Rivera's not even going to take the field goal because he got the previous. I mean, it snowballs when you have confidence or you don't have confidence in a kicker. I think the Chargers are the better team here. It's a better spot for them. I'll lay 5.
Dodd.
No, it's your first pick, Gilly's first.
Oh, you already had him first. Has,
that's
his,
right.
He's over. Listen, I'm gonna go San Francisco 49ers here, and I'm gonna lay. What
are
am I
you
laying?
Sure, Gilly? Are
yeah.
you sure?
Yeah, I think I am. What is it? 3.5 or 4?
I have Niners. You know what? It's mostly 4. We'll give you the 3.5.
Oh, well, if it's mostly 4, give me the 4. So 4 it is. Okay. Khalil Mack is out. Do we know that for a fact? He is out for the Bears?
He's out.
He's out.
Doubtful.
Doubtful. So sounds like he's out. Doubtful typically meaning out these days, but we'll see.
Is Jimmy G in?
Jimmy G is in. Listen, I let's get rid of the atmospheric river game for a second.
all that we've said about the Niners rings true. But if this team is anything like they're supposed to be, you have to be able to beat the Chicago Bears team. Justin Fields with 5 turnovers last week, and yeah, it was against the Bucs. But he is just, he looks bewildered when he's on the sideline. I like San Francisco here because if I had my own personal priors, this spread would shock me at that point. So I'm going to rely on those about these two teams. I don't think the Bears are a good football team in any way. They will try to rely on their run game, which is what I didn't understand about it going up against Tampa Bay.
But I didn't think they would, because you can't run the ball in Tampa. Even Dallas knew that with Ezekiel Elliott. They didn't even try to run the ball. You can't run the ball. And here comes Nagy on first down, the first play of the game, run the ball and get into second and 12. And the game was over at that point.
Yeah.
The game was over. This guy, though, he senses no pressure. He's got like Dave Craig hands or something. He fumbles every time he gets hit. He's terrible. I think Nagy, I also think Nagy is terrible. Nagy is a terrible play caller.
Well, so I'm going to go with the coaching advantage here, too. I still think Kyle Shanahan, again, maybe this is the RG3 year polluting my thinking on Kyle Shanahan. But I absolutely,
But what about the year he had Matt Ryan, too? Well, that's a standout year for Matt Ryan's career.
He did get crushed in the second half of the Super Bowl, but he did have that year. I'm taking San Francisco, call it a Malcolm Gladwell blink thing where I can see the Niners. But by the way, they do have to figure out what the deal is with Brandon Ayuk. That dude has disappeared. 20 targets all year, 10 catches all year for fewer than 100 yards. It's unbelievable. They don't even look his way.
Jimmy G has the most interception BABIP I've ever seen in my entire life. It finally caught up with him late in that game last week. But he throws the ball to the other team every play, and they drop it. Like, right in the guy's hand. Oh, dropped interception. In the guy's hand. Dropped interception.
Kirk Cousins in D.C. had the best BABIP going ever. That dude would hit defenders in the chest, and it would somehow bounce off them all the time. So I'm going with the Niners. What's that?
I like calling it BABIP. That's a cool.
Yeah, that's our little thing. All right.
Mahomes is BABIP is zero this year on interceptable balls.
That's right. He's
it's a negative number.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you're number two.
Okay, I actually kind of liked Chicago, but I'm going to go away. Ooh. I think Chicago's a great bet when everybody says they're the worst team in football, which I think that happened against Detroit in week whatever. But this is the one I'm going to go a second. Carolina at Atlanta over 46.
Oh, I thought we were going to match. We did not match, but I thought we were going to.
You have Carolina.
I do have Carolina, yeah.
Matt Ryan this season has really looked good. He has a 91.4 passer rating when pressured. So a lot of the narratives about him being kind of like wilting this year and not having the arm strength or anything, I think those are a little bit overblown. Kyle Pitts, once they found out how to use him, is in my opinion, probably the tight end I'd pick over anybody in the league if you gave me a choice moving forward. Ridley has been fine. I think as a secondary player to Pitts, he's great. And Cordell Patterson's a guy that I think they're using really well. So I think on that side of the ball, they're going to be fine. There's a lot of injuries on the side of Carolina. You know, the cornerbacks, Shaq Thompson, questionable. And then on the other side, any defense that gives up 4 touchdown passes to Tua Tagovailoa is on watch for me. And so while Sam Darnold has been absolutely horrible over the last like 3-4 weeks, I think he gets right here. It's also indoors, so that really helps. Give me the over in that game.
Eric, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Michael Lombardi this week keeps saying, I don't care. Tua's no good. I don't care what Pro Football Focus says.
He said on my show, he goes, I don't care what Pro Football Focus says.
Does Pro Football Focus have Tua ranked in the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks or something?
He's 6. Had 280 grades in the last 2 games. So
I would look at
his war is probably still in the bottom half of the league. But his last 2 games have looked good. I think part of the issue, though, is – small samples, and they've also played Jacksonville and Atlanta the last 2 weeks. So I would curb my enthusiasm about Tua. But yeah, he's graded well. Michael Lombardi also said the same thing about J.J. Watt when he was signed by Arizona, and J.J. Watt's been a monster this year. So, we'll see what the batting average is on the I don't care what PFF thinks about player X.
Yeah, Tua was 6th, I think, in terms of the last 2 weeks. Yeah, 6th in terms of the quarterback rating the last 2 weeks, but not overall. He took a shot.
Because I listened to that segment.
He took a shot, yeah.
He's really good at picking out who's really entertaining on the radio. He's fantastic.
All Okay. Pick number two, Mikey. What do you got?
This is tough. I don't know. This is all sucks.
Yeah, it is really.
I like this slate worse than last week.
Yeah, I do. Me too.
You want me to go second, Mike?
Go second.
You know, I looked at this for an hour this morning, and I came up with one play and one teaser.
He was too busy researching Eric. He didn't get his picks.
I was. I mean, here's a legitimate question. Is there any angst for Eric talking about football for a living, having gotten his degrees from Nebraska Lincoln?
I don't get it.
You don't get it. You don't watch college football. I'm being facetious, obviously. I was a big Nebraska fan growing up, so I have disdain for what's happened.
Huge. I stood in line at Starbucks next to Joe Bo Pelini when I was there, and I knew the guy was going to be a bad coach, seeing how difficult he had. order a lot.
That's awesome.
Guy looked incapable of just like, you know, nourishing.
So great. I knew from my moment.
Sorry, Todd. You're number two, Todd. Sorry.
Go, Todd.
Okay. My number two, I'm going to go back to the well that got me a W last week.
Oh, God.
If you guys were paying attention, I took the under in the Arizona-Houston game. Why did I do it?
Why?
I said Houston cannot score the football. You don't really have to be a math genius to look at the scores for Houston and realize they're having a hard time getting to double digits any week in National Football League play. Take out the Tyrod Taylor games, and they got 24 against they got 9 against Arizona, 0 against Buffalo, 22 against New England, which is the outlier, 3 against Indianapolis, and 5 last week at Arizona. So to me, I don't think the Houston offense is a team that can get more than 10 points in this football game against the Rams. I just don't see it. The Stanford quarterback is not good. The rest of the offense is not good. So the team is not good. I'm sorry. They're okay on defense, but on offense, they're absolutely horrendous. So if I give them 10 points and I'm saying I'm going under 48, and guys, check me if I'm not. Is it 48 or 47 and a half?
48.
I see.
48?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll take the under 48, which means even at 38-10, I would still push. 37-10, I get a win. So give me the under in the Rams against Houston under 48, because I think a lot of these NFL teams, when they play Houston, they get up a million points. They're in the fourth quarter. They're just running the ball. Let's end this game. We don't need to show anything. We don't need to throw to Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods or any of that nonsense. Just give it to Henderson. Let's end the game and get the hell out of here. We win 33-6, you know. So under 48 in the Rams game, I just don't see Houston scoring enough to get you over.
All right, Mikey, what's your number two?
I'm going to go with Todd. What's the total in the Broncos football team game?
The Broncos football team is playing the Washington football team. Mm-hmm. And I have you're looking for the football, the total?
The total points scored in the game for both football teams.
I got some 44.5 and some 44s. We'll give you the 44.5 because we're feeling generous there.
Well, you don't know that way. I'm going over, so give me the 44.
Oh. You're going over. Mikey, with an over?
Yeah, look at the football team couldn't get Bishop Gorman off the field on third down. They can get nobody off the field on third down. And look, this Denver team, they have no linebackers. The whole linebackers are out. You know, they let Case Keenum sit back there. The guy hadn't played in like 14 years, be very comfortable in the pocket on Thursday night, and acclimate himself to the game. I also think the elevation in Denver helps the football team kicking him. Look, they went up and down the field against the Packers. They just didn't convert. They didn't pay off here. I think this total is too low. Two gloves will convert enough third downs, and Washington will score more in the red zone. Over 44, Todd.
Okay.
I am
so not worried about the Vic Fangio defensive struggle.
I still don't get it. And then he said, Deshaun should want to go to Denver yesterday. He never gets off this Vic Fangio.
We should spend like 10 minutes on Deshaun, but
You can't.
The trade deadline is Tuesday, and I still, like, if you sift through that NFL word salad that they came out with, it is you. I thought I would assume that teams are going down the trade road with Houston, having some kind of back, back channel confirmation from the NFL that Deshaun will be able to play this year. And it appears by Roger Goodell just opening up his mouth and saying, "Hey, I can't put him on the exempt list. I don't have enough information," that he's signaling to all the teams, "Yeah, he can play for you this year. I don't know about next year, but he can play for you this year." So that appears to be the case, but what does it say about Deshaun that Miami's the team he wants to play for that has 6 losses? What does it say about the Dolphins saying we were wrong about Tua. Shouldn't they all be fired, right? Because they picked Tua over Justin Herbert. What does it say about the NFL who gave Zeke six games when there was like an affidavit saying none of this really happened because they were so bummed, they were so sensitive to how they treated Ray Rice and Josh Brown. And now Deshaun, who has 22 civil allegations and 10 criminal complaints, they're like, yeah, we don't have enough information. Just you should play him.
The Ezekiel Elliott comparison is incredible.
There were a couple bad stories at massage parlors. What's 34 situations? It could happen to anyone.
Eric, what's your take on this?
That if you're assuming any sort of logical consistency or coherence in the NFL's application of anything, you're like missing out. You're missing the point. Like,
you're right.
I just, you know, the Deshaun Watson thing's interesting, right? Because I think when owners look at him, they see dollars, right? They see one of the top five talents in the NFL. Like he's probably a notch below Mahomes. And so when you have that player on your team, like that's what they're all going after, right? And so I think that's why the owners are sort of and Goodell is sort of doing their bidding, right? Like I don't know if they could. I mean, they could pay me enough to do Goodell's job, but like to stand in front and take those bullets and like to look like a complete idiot when God knows he's not.
He's
like
not.
That sucks.
He knows better. It's just incredible.
Exactly. He knows better. That's a well put. That's a.
Well, what is the technical story right now for Deshaun? Are they saying it's like up in the air? What is the NFL story right now?
As long as he's with Houston, the NFL doesn't have to do anything because there's sort of this purgatory thing happening and they don't have to rule on anything, right? As soon as he gets traded, they would have to step in and say he can play or not.
What does Houston say? Houston saying we're not playing him because of this?
What was their official company?
Houston's not playing him because he doesn't want to play.
He doesn't want to play, right.
Perfect level of dysfunction for the
NFL.
So
technically he could play. If he wanted to play right now, he could play for Houston right now.
Correct.
Yes.
The NFL would have to step in.
So what is his argument that he doesn't want to play?
He just doesn't want to be there anymore.
I think he thinks they leaked all these stories.
He's doing the NBA, the NBA thing, where it's like, I'm dictating.
Oh, well, that's nonsense. This whole thing is terrible. This smells to high heaven. You know what? Can't sports be one place where there's not craziness? Can I just have one part of my life where the people haven't gone totally insane? Do I have to deal with this even in sports? Please! Can't I just have a quarterback who doesn't go to a massage parlor? Please!
Okay, I'm taking Carolina.
Okay.
I'm taking Carolina.
Carolina on my mind.
Falcons defense stinks. They're last in the NFL in defensive yards per point. And Carolina is last in the NFL in defensive yards per point, meaning that they've had a very bend don't break kind of defense to this juncture. Carolina has had, believe it or not, a tougher schedule than Atlanta has had. And I know Sam Darnold was just Sam Darnoldish last week. By the way, they put in P.J. Walker, hoping they could get something out of P.J. Walker.
I had to look up P.J. Walker. Honestly.
Oh, he was XFL? Tremendous in the XFL, I believe it was.
I didn't know him.
He went 3 for 14. 3 for 14 for 33 yards. So it's back to Sam Darnold. By the way, some reports, Joel Klatt finally came out today and said Matt Rhule doesn't really like coaching in the NFL. So
does that mean USC?
I'm saying all these college jobs out there that people think are going to somebody else, watch out for Matt Rhule.
Well, the NFL like scoreboards don't really like Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like this
interesting, it's kind of mutual, huh?
This interesting confluence of events.
I'm taking Carolina largely because of that stat with the Falcons. I think Carolina, look, they almost beat – they should have beaten Minnesota. Or not should have beaten, but they almost beat Minnesota. Minnesota let them back in the game a couple weeks ago. I think Carolina is the better football team. And I'm going to take Carolina here on the road. Catching points.
I thought you would tease them. Maybe you'll tease them as well.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We'll see. Todd, number two.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
By the way, do you guys disagree with me that you don't like it when the world leaks into sports, or am I just totally off?
Or sports leaks into the world.
Well,
which
either
is
way.
It? Which is it?
Either way. I don't want either of it. I'm watching sports to get away from the world. I don't want it in the – I don't know. I just it just drives me crazy.
Trump will only go to the games in Atlanta.
Well, you know, that is right-wing America's biggest trouble with ESPN, right, for – they believe ESPN to be injecting politics too much into it. By the way, I would be aligned more with ESPN politically, and I would understand that position. So I see what
you're
saying.
Did you think the question to Tomlin was inherently racist about being interested in USC?
No, but why did you go to racism for that question?
Because the three different ESPN commentators have said it's an inherently racist question because they never asked the white coaches that question. That's why I went there, and you mentioned ESPN.
I think that you could... Listen, I actually think Mike Tomlin is correct for being that pissed off about it, because I don't think you asked Sean Payton or Andy Reid those questions. Whether it was racist, maybe you can make that claim. I didn't necessarily.
But Carson Palmer kept linking him to the job. That's the genesis of the question, I think.
By the way, if you go back and you listen to what the guy actually asked, the guy asked a very reasonable question. He like jumped down his throat, but the guy was like, "Hey, you said this. We heard this," and Mike Tomlin just went nuts on him. Anyway,
Mike Tomlin's not leaving Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin lives three blocks from here. He's not going anywhere.
It's the most stable job in pro sports. Why would he leave?
Three coaches.
And he's not elite, but he's definitely very good.
And Pittsburgh's beautiful in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. Where are you, Eric?
Ohio.
I live in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay. So you've got
to see anything's beautiful.
Whose turn is it to go
you,
third?
You, number two, Todd. We got to run.
Number
Mike's
three.
Go.
Number three.
Number
for
three,
Todd.
Todd. Yes.
Number three. Okay, I'm going to go with one more under here in the Philadelphia Eagles against the Lions under 48. I think this is too high. If you've watched any of the Detroit football team, they tend to be competitive, but it's because they're playing well defensively, not really scoring a lot. If you look at their scores, they get a lot of these 16-point games, and they run the ball a lot. I am not Jalen Hurts. You know, he may turn out to be a good quarterback. For right now, he is not a good quarterback. So I don't like what I see from Philadelphia on the positive offensive side. I mean, they haven't really done anything all year. The only team they scored 30 points against was Kansas City, and you can throw that out. Every other game, they get 21, 22, 21. They're nothing special on offense. And Detroit gets 17 every week. 17, 17, 14, 17. They can't get into the 20s, the Lions. They run the ball. They dink it off to Swift. And they play decent defense to keep them hanging around. So to me, this seems like a defensive game. I don't understand why it's 48. I just think that's just a crazy high number. I mean, Detroit hasn't gotten to... Detroit only got over 20 points this year one time, and that was a phony Fugazi situation in the first game of the year where they got the onside kick and all those late scores against San Francisco. Other than that, Detroit can't get more than 17 points in a game. So I don't know how you're getting
that
over
a little bit. Like, Philly is like the ultimate slump buster defense. They don't stunt. They don't blitz. They don't play. They don't play man coverage. They don't disguise coverages. They're like the easiest defense to operate against. And like okay, Derek Carr, like had a perfect game last week. Like I don't think Goff's going to be amazing, but I do. And then the sneaky one for your bet, Todd. And I agree with you generally. Like I think if there was no such thing as garbage time, this is a perfect bet. Half of Jalen Hurts' production is in the fourth quarter. So, like, you could see a game where Detroit is plucky and has, like, a 17, you know, 10 lead. And Jalen Hurts, you know, they go back and forth and score 24 points in the fourth quarter, and you're really irritated. I think that's the issue.
I'm not going to bet any of this pregame anyways. I'm an in-game bettor. But my point is, if I have to take a game, you know, pregame, I'm taking this under because, by the way, Philadelphia's defense, they only gave up 18 to Carolina. Yeah, granted, they gave up points to Tampa Bay. They gave up points to Vegas. They gave up points to Kansas City, Dallas. But those are good offensive teams. You know, San Francisco only got 17 on them. So I don't see why they can't hang in and only give up, say, 24. Let's say they give up 24. It's 24-20. I win anyways. So I'm going under 48.
So, Todd, what you're saying is, like Michael Lombardi, you're posting a non-betting record.
What does that mean?
Well, you said you don't bet any of these things pre-flop. You're giving out three pre-flop picks and then telling you what your record is on the pre-flop. You're giving out a non-betting record.
Oh, no, no. What I'm saying is I'll be leaning. One second. Fair point by Mikey. My point, Mikey, is typically I don't bet the game before the game. I'll be leaning this way. And then if it's going the way I like it, then I'll be jumping in on the end game. Last week I did play the Arizona game pregame. But, you know, I always tell people, if they're going to give you half of the answer key, why not take half of the answer key before you make your bet? Gilly will tell you the smart way to bet NFL games is in-game. Gilly, please tell him.
Smart way to bet smart. NFL. It really is.
What are the Jets getting, Todd?
Ooh. I know, man. Oh, God.
The New York Jets?
Yeah.
The New York Jets are Winnipeg getting a lot Jets. Of points. There's a tremendous Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. Well, they have Wilson is in goal. They're 10.5 I have.
Yeah, I'm going to lay 10.5 with the Bengals.
Wow.
Tough to do, an unfamiliar role. But listen, this is a good defensive team. The story is not, oh, they hooked up Chase with Burrow. The story is their defense is decent.
Yeah.
Their defense, you have to work to score points on this team. And the Jets, no quarterback, a small team. They're, things aren't going well for Salah in his first year. I think the Bengals now have a clear path here. They're a very dangerous team in the AFC all of a sudden. I don't like to lay these kind of points. I don't like nothing else on the board. My other consideration would be to lay the points with the Rams, actually, this week against the Texans.
I thought about
laying
the points with Cincinnati.
Give me the Bengals.
I thought about having Cincinnati as one of my top three. Eric.
By the way, Mikey, another thing, when I texted you last week, and I would love to hear what Eric says about this. You remember when in the second quarter of the Seattle game, Seattle was averaging 7.2 yards per play because they had an 85-yard ridiculous touchdown to Metcalf. The rest of the plays, they had like 2 yards of play. So I knew Seattle wasn't scoring. I took team total under there, and I won the bet. But if you would have gone by the stats, you would say, oh, they're averaging 7 yards a play. They're doing great. Eric, what do you think about that when the stats kind of get corrupted like that? What are your feelings on that?
Well, I would hope that there's a little bit of... So, like, in our in-game stuff, we have what's called success rate, and we have what's called expected points. So, like, a play like that's going to have a lot of expected points, but from a success rate standpoint, it's Boolean, right? Like, it's 0 or 1. So, essentially, like, you merge those two together to deal with that kind of noise. I took Seattle under 19.5 pregame. So like I was on the same side as you the whole time. And that first play just kind of like it spooked me a little bit. But when you watch that offense, they're not scoring any points, even though Geno Smith is the cover king at 2-0 ATS so far as a starter. But,
right, but that's my point. That's my point is you can look at that and go, oh, wow, they've got all these yards. But it's bullshit because they got one play.
I don't think in-game stuff, I don't think people are betting yards per play anymore. Like I'd be surprised if people with in-game models are betting yards per play. I think it's a little bit more sophisticated than that. But you're right. I think intuition, if somebody just turned the game on and was like, oh my goodness, what's happening, and they bet over it reflexively, obviously they're paying the juice and more to the sports book in that case.
Eric, did you give a third pick?
Nope.
I didn't. I'm gonna go, and I was trying to choose between Titans +1.5.
Me too.
And what I'm going to pick, which is the over in the Chargers-New England Patriots game. Styles make fights, and the Los Angeles Chargers are engineered to beat the Chiefs. They play 6 in the box. They play 6 in the secondary. most of the time. And, you know, their linebackers are safeties. Kenneth Murray's out. And so I think New England's going to have some success on the ground with their group of running backs. It's also interesting if you actually, like, look at this. Like, Herbert's been great, 106 passer rating when clean, 74 passer rating when pressured. Mac Jones has 100 passer rating when pressured, 73 passer rating when clean. Mac Jones has been the best of the rookie quarterbacks. Kendrick Bourne, who I know has a little bit of a shoulder injury, Jacoby Myers, the two tight ends they signed this past offseason, have been slow to go, but they've been pretty good the last few weeks. So give me New England, you know, to put up enough points to keep this game interesting. And for Justin Herbert, anytime I have a quarterback who can get me 70 yards in one play reliably, I'm going to bet over in his games.
I had a debate who, but go ahead.
Eric, you mentioned earlier the top or the lowest 5 yards per target on early downs in the first three quarters of games, and you said four of these guys should be backups and one's a real starter. Is Roethlisberger or Cousins the real starter out of that group?
Hey! Oh, Cousins is a way better quarterback than Big Ben right now.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Hey, watch yourself down there.
You know,
we're
my nickname for Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Hey, we're 3-3.
Big Ben Roethlisberger should change his nickname to Has Ben Roethlisberger.
Shots fired.
He is. Straight to the Hall of Fame. But man, the longer he plays, the more you're like,
Who would you rather have at quarterback for your team? This is Amal and I had this disagreement on air this week. Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield?
Currently?
Currently.
At price? At price?
If you just had to choose between the two, not at price.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Kirk's a better player, but
I believe
makes three times as much money.
I get you. But Amal thinks that it's the other way. Baker is a better quarterback.
No.
Got a lot to
no
prove.
Shot.
Got a lot to prove still. No.
Cousins is better than
Baker Mayfield versus Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Are you on the Mayfield?
I'll take Baker Mayfield. I can't stand Kirk Cousins. I don't care what you say about Kirk. You love Kirk Cousins. You've always loved Kirk Cousins.
I love him.
You remember when Gil was in the hospital and we had that show and you said Kirk Cousins?
I said that Vikings at 12-1 could win the NFC and you just tore me apart for Kirk Cousins.
And what happened?
They didn't win the NFC at 12-1.
Kirk Cousins had a little problem.
Kirk Cousins' contract is one of the biggest mistakes in Vikings history, but he's one of the better quarterbacks in Vikings history. It shows you how hard it is to get quarterback right.
Yes. Washington and Kirk Cousins bet on himself, kept doing the one-year deals with Washington, finally, because they didn't want to give him a long-term deal. Finally, the Vikings were 3 years, $84 million, and everybody in D.C. was like, see you, buddy. See ya.
There's nothing worse.
They were chasing the Case Keenum performance year, the 2017 right. Case Keenum thing. And like they gave him a 3-year deal because they figured, Kirk will be better over a 3-year arc than Case Keenum will be. But like they were trying to replace that production from 2017. You weren't going to replace that production. That was an amazing year.
It's the same
year.
Thing with the Washington football team now. The Washington football team signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to win more games in their 2020 schedule that included no good quarterbacks. And the problem is their 2021 schedule had a bunch of great quarterbacks in it, so their defense wasn't going to be as good. The Vikings signed Kirk Cousins to try to win the 2017 Super Bowl again.
Yes.
And that's just not how it works.
Not how it works.
Defenses regress, players get worse, and
there's
that's
no
why
worse,
it was a bad signing. You know?
There's no worse feeling than having Kirk Cousins or Phillip Rivers needing to get you a late score, and you have the bet. You can't feel any worse.
He's done it this year, though, man. He's done it this year a couple times.
Rivers just doesn't get in on 8 cracks from the 2, and Cousins will throw the interception in the end zone.
By the way, Jared Goff, you try watching him win a football game, it is the most – oh, my God. Having Survivor last week with the Patriots and then rooting against the Rams, Jared Goff was miserable.
Doesn't this just really flatter McVay where he took that team with Goff?
It kind of does. It does. By the way, the last thing about the Kirk Cousins thing, it also is a commentary on how you can only win a Super Bowl with a Hall of Fame quarterback or a guy on a rookie deal. And so this weird economic structure they have in the NFL where you get to a point where you've played good enough, right, for a certain chunk of years, but you're not Hall of Fame, and now you're off your rookie contract, it's such a fucked up thing for teams to have to make that financial commitment at
There's
that
no
moment.
Middle class quarterback
yeah.
contract.
That's right. There's no middle. Well said. There's no middle class contract. By the way, my last one, it was a choice between the Titans, the Bengals laying the points, or the Jacksonville Jaguars catching points against the Seahawks. I'm going with the ugliest one of all of them. I'm going with Jacksonville. And it is largely just a fade of Pete Carroll. That display the other night was David Shaw-esque against Michigan State in that bowl game.
What do you want him to do? There's no quarterback.
I don't care that it was Geno Smith. At some point, you have to trust your quarterback to do something. You cannot just keep running the ball. We must establish the run. Good Lord, that was horrific to watch. And I listen, best play, all they could have done, do what the Colts did the other night in the atmospheric river. Just throw it up and have a San Francisco defensive back run into a wideout. Whatever it is. But that was what they were doing. I actually think Jacksonville, because Urban Meyer finally discovered James Robinson's part of the team a couple weeks ago, I think they go in, and at the very least, I'm catching three and a hook here, right? I get the hook. I think Jacksonville covers this game. I think maybe they even win it. By the way, Mike McCarthy on Dak Prescott, quote, there's no timeline on when we're going to make a decision. I think you take in the full week. So there is some possibility Dak won't be there. Interesting. Interesting. I'm taking Jacksonville. That's my third. So I have a poo-poo platter of picks. I have San Francisco, Carolina, and Jacksonville. God.
You'll probably go 3-0.
Probably go 3-0.
Who's your are you giving out your survivor pick or not till tomorrow on air?
I'm going to give out mine today. Okay. This will be the last week.
All right.
I'm going to end up with Kansas City because of the four big favorites. I've already used Cincinnati. Buffalo has a Christmas consideration.
Yeah.
And so it comes down to the Rams versus Kansas City. Kansas City, this is the last real shot to use them because everything else after this is going to be even dicier. The Rams, there is another opportunity. I think they host the Jaguars. So, listen, I get it. They're a double-digit home favorite in a standalone game, and I'm terrified. But I have to play them. I'm playing Kansas City.
Todd, what's your teaser? I got 2 minutes.
Teaser legs. Todd, two teams.
It's really tough this week to come up with a good teaser.
I'll give mine.
I'm going to take.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll
but Todd must go before me.
I'll take the Colts. I mean, I'll take Tennessee Titans plus 7.5, right? So that's the obvious one. Tennessee plus 7.5.
Yeah.
And then I need another leg.
Yeah.
Gil, why don't you give yours while I think of my second leg?
Because you're gonna. I already have Tennessee as well.
I have Tennessee as well.
I have Arizona and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tennessee
and Arizona seems to be the obvious one, right? No other one. Are you actually going through any key numbers? Maybe Minnesota. If you think the Dak news is real.
Yeah, Minnesota would be a long teaser leg.
Minnesota. I don't want Minnesota. I can't take care of Kirk Cousins. I have a rule.
Kirk Cousins Phillip
Rivers,
in prime time,
I don't bet Phillip Rivers. I don't bet Kirk Cousins.
What'd you say, so Eric? Eric, what'd you say?
In prime time.
Kirk Cousins in prime time, no less.
That's right. It's supersized, you know, Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to take – I know it's not going to be mathematically correct, but I'm going to take the Chargers as my second leg, even though, you know, I'm not really getting the full amount of points. But that's because I don't want to take – I don't want to take Arizona because I could see Aaron Rodgers pulling something out of his ass. So, you know, give me the – that would be the Chargers down to plus one. So give me the Chargers plus one with Tennessee plus 7.5. And I think you guys have a chance to actually pick up games on me on this teaser because I don't feel great.
I'm the man to beat. Right, Mike, what do you got?
I'm going to take Titans, obviously, 7.5. And I'll take the Cardinals down tonight.
All right, so you and me have the same one. Eric, we're so rude. We did Eric
Cardinals
last.
Cardinals-Titans
also for Eric. Okay, and then final two questions, which we ask every week on the Megapod forever. One, the big favorite most likely to lose outright. So it's all the four double-digit favorites that we just mentioned. Cincinnati at the Jets, the Rams at Houston, Kansas City hosting the Giants, and, of course, what did I forget of the four?
Chiefs.
No, I already said that one.
Okay. Chiefs, Rams.
Miami, Buffalo.
Buffalo, thank you. Buffalo hosting Miami. Any of those, and I guess if I shouldn't include any of the 6.5s because those were the obvious ones. Yeah. So of those big four favorites, Eric, if I came to you from the future and I said one of them lost outright, which would it have been?
Giants. Giants win against Kansas City.
Me too. I'm sorry for your survivor, but I think that's the most likely one.
I would say the same thing. Todd? Kansas City?
Are we counting the Green Bay game? Or
no, we're not.
Do you pay attention?
I was doing the what's it called? I guess the Giants could be Kansas City. They're not going to, though.
All right.
The Kansas City this week.
Last question. We live in a bizarre world. You must pick a side. You must bet a side on every single game except for one game you will take a pass on. Eric, what's the game you take a pass on?
Great question.
Philadelphia-Detroit. Mikey.
Steelers-Browns.
Todd.
I don't like Steelers-Browns either. I don't know what I'm getting from Case Keenum.
I will take Philadelphia-Detroit. Philadelphia-Detroit for sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank Mikey's got to go do odds on, so he's out of here.
Thank you.
Mike Palm, everybody. Todd, thank you.
Eric, do you do college football or just pro football?
College, too. Yep.
Oh, you do college. Okay. Did you see that Wake Forest Army game last week?
Yeah, I had Wake, but I also had under.
Under? Because that was when I was going to ask you about these runaway college games.
Todd, because since we haven't finished the podcast yet, why don't we finish the podcast and then you can ask him about
that
stuff. Shout out to Max Fried and Alex Bregman, the first Tribesman on Tribesman World Series event last night. Fabulous moment.
Max Fried's
for
Jewish?
Some of us. Yes.
I didn't know Max Fried was Jewish.
Fabulous moment for some of us. It's big, historic. Thank you for listening to the Megapod. Good luck with all your week eight bet. I can't even say it. All your week eight bets in the National Football League. Good luck from all of us at the Megapod. Now you can ask your question.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.